Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. We very happily welcome Angelique Kidjo and her band back to the World Cafe today. Angelique just released her new album, Oyo. The singer from Benin, West Africa, was inspired by the music of her childhood there in choosing material from the new album, and that includes a variety of Western influences as well as African. She's performing in front of an audience at World Cafe Live and starts with this song called Achahun.
Ogun ye di seunde, ogbe to me cho me wekpe ye yi hun da la goton, o mi ze hun ye wate, acha hun sogbe do din, hun na gbele we ya, gun ta gan le mi, o mi ma ja fala o, cha hun yolo ni to we juju hun che yolo we, Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, afiriki gunche yolo we. Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, erapu gunche yolo we. Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, ameriki gunche yolo we. Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, azia gunche yolo we. Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, gbele unche yolo mi. Bolo gali towe do, cha un yolo ni towe, yolo de lo. Guzu gbenu cha un ye mi, na yolo we kon yi me. O mi ze un ye wate, a cha un so gbe do di, una gbele we ya ndo. Una gbele we ya, hey. Una gbele weya, una gbele weya.
Angelique Kidjo, our guest today on the World Cafe, and two songs to begin from the new album, Oyo. I got that right? Could be Oyo.
If we Oyo. Were
Oyo. And every time, Angelique, you do an album, you put such a lot of thought into the theme of it and what you're going to do, and you spend a lot of time. This one, it seems you've gone back to Benin and your childhood. In fact, that first song, tell us about that.
The first song that I sang, Achang, was the first song I ever sang when I was 6 years old. It was a surprise to me. I was playing with the costumes of my mom's theater group. As usual, as I do all the time, I'm always sneaking around and trying everything and put my head in, and my mom was always pissed off because she didn't have anybody to help her. She does everything by herself. So she knew if she doesn't see me around, if she pulled the costume up, I was gonna be there. So they have an issue with the little girl that was playing that role in the theater group, and till last minute, they were hopeful that she was gonna make it. But I think she has a malaria crisis, and then she couldn't get off the bed. So my mom is like, how are we going to do this? It's an important part of the play. Without that song, the piece doesn't make any sense. So here I was playing with the costume, really happy, man. My mom said, I know you're singing. I'm like, me? Hey, I'm not singing. She said, yeah, you're singing. As we were talking, she didn't even ask me. She just put the costume on me. I'm like, so she pushed me on stage, and I arrived. All the bones in my body was just playing music, man. I was like, I can't do this. And the public react exactly as you react, laughing. I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool. I can sing. Then I, wow. And I started singing, and I was hooked.
And directly, here you are today from that.
Yeah, directly. That's where it took me. I should have known better.
Now, how unusual was your growing up because your mom was an actress and worked in the theater?
I think that my growing up and my education is completely different from what people know about Africa, really. And that time, the education was a good quality education. It was not really expensive. So my father could afford to send 10 kids to school. And because my both parents were educated, they make sure that we all go to school not only to learn what was in the book, but also to be open to the culture around. My father used to say, if you don't do sports and you don't read, you don't listen to music, you can't learn good in school. You have to be curious about what's going on. And my dad has been a great reader. I mean, I used to tell my father, you don't read, you eat the books. Because he read all the time, and it doesn't matter how many shelves we put in his room to put the book on, when you come and sat on the bed of my dad, you'd be prepared, you'd be poked by a book. So that's my upbringing, and my father always said to us, the world is big, yet it's small. There is only one humanity. The skin color of a person, what does that mean? Nothing. It's just a color.
Angelique Kidjo is our guest today on The Cafe. And this album is interesting because it's your versions of a lot of songs, R&B songs we know. There's an Aretha song on here and some other things. I'm curious, when you became a singer after, you know, that tender age and your first time on stage, did you have, were your role models from out of Africa or in Africa? And how did you figure out you could do that?
My father was the first one that started playing a banjo and playing songs from Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, and he made the music available from his youth down to the youth of my bigger brother. Out of the 10 children, I'm number 7. So when they show interest in music, really, my brothers, my father said, okay, you want to have a band? Put the band together, I'll buy the instrument. So my father bought the instrument, and I will never forget that day I came back from school. In the middle of the house, there were a pile of boxes smelling plastic. I was like, what is that? That was the first time I saw a drum kit, an amp, guitar amp, bass amp, a bass, a guitar, and it was the time of the Farfisa organ. And I was like, oh, how do you do this? How do you play this? They said, that's what you hear on the LPs. So I start sitting down and listening to the song that they were playing, because they were a cover band. So the Motown was home. Stax was home. Philly Sound was home. Rolling Stone was home. I mean, whatever was there was there. And I started writing my songs, my own songs. I was 11 years old, mixing all those stuff. And because I didn't play any instrument, guitar, nor keyboard, I was forced to sometime band to my brother for him to play the guitar for me to take my song, because I'm like, but I make him pay later on.
I noticed last year, I think it was, you curated a festival in France, the Île-de-France Festival, and you did a tribute to Miriam Makeba. And when did her music come into your life?
I think Miriam Makeba came to my life like a surprise without me realizing what was going on. I was 8 years old when my mom would drag me to her women movement. They have they were getting together to ask for the right to vote, more freedom, more respect for the women. They start at that time already talking about no more early marriage for the young girl. Still today, we're in the 21st century, a young girl of 8 years old can marry a man of 50 years. And I said, that is not a tradition, it's pedophilia. Every time I say that, everybody's mad at me in Africa. I'm like, till you change it, I'm not going to stop, because it's not the way it's supposed to be. So my mom will drag me with her friends, because they all say, we sound like frogs. Bring your girl. She can sing. She saved the day. Come on, bring her. So the first song of Miriam Makeba that I start singing was the song called Retreat Song. It goes, Hindo Gaza Makwe Kwe, Topukelem La Jenny Home, Kumba Kumbe Tindonga, Yao, Ojikele Maweni Jiamba, Jikele Maweni Jiamba. That's the version of Miriam Makeba. So, the Beninese women, they still go like this. Mi masonyo nule jia naome, mi masonyo nule dohokao, nyonu nudaho, nyonu nusisi, nyonu nudaho, nyonu wacharonu, which means, don't play with the women. Women are the cradle of humanity. Women are important. They are beautiful. They are gracious, they are generous. They are part of humankind. They have the same rights as all of you guys. So I'll be singing that song. I'll become activist at 8 years old, not knowing I was an activist. Maybe blasting the song, running around like crazy, singing it. Wah! Miriam started like that in my life. And then when I was 9 years old, I stumbled upon a cover album of Jimi Hendrix with a big, huge afro. I'm like, wow, this guy is African. And my brother goes, no, he's not African. He's African-American. And I look at him and I say, yeah, I'm 9 years old and I'm the stupid girl here. How can you be African and American at the same time? And then he goes, if I tell you, will you leave me alone? I'm like, it depends, the answer you gave me. And then he goes, he's a slave descendant. I'm like, well, okay. What is a slave? What is a descendant? And then he goes, you know what? The person that can't really answer that question is grandma. Go ask grandma. And she started explaining to me. I look at her, I'm like, she's getting old. She's losing her mind. Or something is not right about this. I'm like, I don't trust you. She said, it's the truth. I said, ah, mom and dad, there is only one humanity. You telling me that slavery is something happened? And come on. And I walk away. It took me a couple of years. Again, still with Miriam Makeba's song, to hear about apartheid. And then both collided in my life. And I turned to my mom and dad. I'm never going to forget that day. I turned to my parents and I say, how dare you? How can you sit here and tell me that this world is one, that we are one, and this horrible thing happens to us? How can you? And I was crying. I was screaming. And my dad said, you bring your voice down. You can be mad, but you don't scream in this house. Just calm down. It happens. And then what? Whatever we tell you has nothing to do with it. And I was like, I was so mad. And I went in my room. I didn't eat.
slammed the door and I wrote my first, if we can call it so-called engaged song, that is on the album Aye, it's called Azanakpe, which means the day will come. And my first draft was heinous, hateful. And my dad goes, not in my house. No more hate, no hate in this house. So I went back and rewrite the song, which become an anthem of hope, where one day there won't be no more oppressor or no more oppressed, where we all gonna understand that by hurting one another, we are hurting ourselves. So Miriam Makeba have been twisting my activism since that time.
How did you decide what to do on this record of hers?
Man, I just let it flow. I just let, once again, my inspiration lead me as it does for the other album. It all started bubbling in me when my father passed away 2 years ago. And also about what he told me before he died. I saw him 10 days before he passed away. And he was telling me, do not cancel anything of your commitment to music to come and see me. Even if I'm sick, I'm always going to be here. But if whatever happened, the outcome of this disease, because they diagnosed him with liver cancer, and he said, you were born to sing and to empower people, to be happy and make people happy. And I cannot interfere in that mission that God sent you on earth to do. But whatever happened, whatever come out of this disease of mine, if I go, it's only my body that leaves you. My spirit will always be with you. So after the funeral of my father, I could still not get over it because my father, I'm very close to my dad. I was like, who am I going to turn to talk to? Who's going to help me feel a child of someone? Who's going to help me fix my problem? And I was struggling with it. And one night I have a dream and I saw my dad telling me, you got to stop crying, all of you, your brothers and sisters. You got to let me go because your cries are keeping me here. I need to go. I have some work to do. You got to be happy as I taught you to. That was a hard moment for me that I took the variation of Goldberg and I put those lyrics that my father said to me on it. I didn't record it yet.
Angelique Kidjo is with us today, and can you do the Miriam Makeba song?
La Kuchuni Langa.
Zagu.
Thank you so much. It was a lullaby.
Oluwa fun mi layo ominira Kaluku wanya yo Joba wala mura Asholu wafumi la yo Olu wafumi la yo Ominira Kaluku wanyayo Choba wala mora Ashalu wafumi layo Fumi layo moya Jare lawa minira
Thank you so much.
Angelique Kidjo playing live today from the stage of World Cafe Live. And now, who was more popular in Benin, Jimi Hendrix or Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana, yeah. Definitely. Carlos Santana was, man. I've seen so many men kissing girls on Carlos Santana song. I'm like, and I'll call him and I tell my mom, "Oh, that is gross. Yuck, no man gonna ever kiss me." And my mom is like, "When you get to that age, you won't ask my permission anymore." I'm like, "But that is gross, man. You're dancing or you're kissing?" I mean, I would ask some stupid questions when I was a kid, man. And Samba Party was one of the songs that my parents love. And my father will, my mom will be cooking. And my mom, when she's in the kitchen, she's serious about cooking, right? My dad will come and say, Yvonne, can you come up here with us? My mom is like, but my food will burn. He goes, I don't care. We pay for another one. Come and dance. Mama says, I don't want to dance. And then we are like, Mom, can you dance, please? And they start dancing, and they won't stop. Then they start talking into each of us here. We're like, okay, you know what, guys? You go do that in your room, man. We don't want to see that. So Mom, come and cook. And then Mom will come back and cook. And that song specifically just brings images and memory moments of laughter, and we laugh so hard home sometimes when my mom refused completely. Sometimes my father go, okay, I don't care, I'll dance with the air, and then he'll be doing this stupid stuff around, and that's my dad.
Angelique Kidjo's new album Oyo is that's why we're hearing all these wonderful stories about growing up in Benin, because this is the music that that she heard, that she was influenced by, and a lot of it makes a whole lot of sense. There's one I really want to know about, and that is a it seems like it's from a Bollywood film.
Yeah.
explain. Tell us more.
The movie is called Anne. It took me 30 years to find the right title, because we renamed the movie in Benin. I love the Indian movie because, first of all, our country was not rich enough to get access to a movie from Europe or America, so all we had was Indian movie till the communist regime arrived in Benin with the Chinese that bring their own karate movies. So I love the Indian movies because they always have a happy ending. Every time that movie comes back, the movie theater is packed. And the theme song was something that I was, I think, probably the only one in that movie theater paying attention to it, because I loved the theme song. And when I was searching for this song, none of my brothers and sisters could remember the theme song. They all remember the stupid one that we invented it. So I have a brother that worked for an airline company that goes often in India. So I called him up, and he gave me the old funny, the other song. I'm like, it's not that, the other one. He goes, you know what? I can't remember. What you do, you sing it, you MP3 it to me. I say, MP3, what is that? He say, ask your husband, he knows. I'm like, all right. So he went to India and brought the song at the office of his colleague. So he found me the song, the lyrics, the meaning of it. My brother sent it to me. Oh, he's like, open a Christmas gift. I was ready for it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to Africanize Indian movies and Indian song. I got to put some Benin in there because that's all I have. That's all I know. So let's do it. You want to hear it?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Chupa que piare kazu fan nele chale hamaj apni maat ka
Angelique Kidjo live on stage at World Cafe Live with another song from Oyo, her new album. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. You can also download our World Cafe Next podcast that is also at our website, plus a whole lot more at worldcafe.npr.org. And thank you for spending your time with the World Cafe.